In verse 8, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8. Here is a man writing in the New Testament. This is the first time he begins to pen what the Spirit of God has placed upon him. And as he's talking to the scattered Jewish people all throughout Pontus and Galatia and Cappadocia and Asia, they are the elect. They're the ones that were called out of darkness into his marvelous light. He had a message for them. He had something he wanted to astound them for. He wanted something to uplift them about. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8. It says, whom? He's talking to them. He's talking to us. Whom, having not seen. Who do you think he's talking about? Peter is talking to them about the one whom they have not seen. He's speaking to them about the man Jesus Christ. He's saying about them concerning Jesus, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not. Do not raise your hand, especially if you think you have. Has anybody seen Jesus in his physical form? It says, now ye see him not. Next phrase, very important. Yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. The Lord put this message on my heart entitled, The Blessing in Believing. The blessing in believing. Father, in the name of Jesus, we don't see you, oh God, in your physical form. We feel your presence. But God, there's revelation even in that. And that's what Paul wanted to convey. That's what Peter wanted to convey. And that's what you wanted to convey. Lord God, revelation wants to be released in this house. I believe if we get this message, I believe if we hide this message in our heart, there's something life-changing is going to take place. There's some things in the natural that have been in our way too long. There's been some things that we see and make conclusions on for too long. Take us to a deeper dimension, God, to believe beyond what we see. We ask it in Jesus' name. Let the church say it. Amen. Many times, you may be seated here in the house of God. God bless you. Many times, the Lord makes things plain from his words. Right in front of us, and we have a hard time seeing, hard time understanding, and yet even believing in them. Though it's right in front of us. Human nature likes logic, likes further explanation, likes to know how things work, likes to understand the how first before it joins wholeheartedly in doing something. Because we as human beings, we loathe being disappointed. Can I get an amen? I said we loathe being disappointed. But in the kingdom, things do not work that way. In the kingdom, everything begins in faith. He said, I am the author and the finisher of your faith. Your faith starts with me. Your faith begins with your belief system about me. The Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And so right off the bat, you have to believe that scripture to believe anything else in the word of God. No one was present when God created the world, so nothing that is seen right now in the word of God, nothing that's seen from creation, none of us were there, so that means we have to have faith that God did it. Because you did not see it with your natural eye unfold. Someone say amen. So let's define faith. Faith, the Bible says, is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Things not seen. I want to say things not seen. And the Bible says in relation to pleasing God that it is impossible to please God without faith. It's impossible to please God except we believe in things that we cannot see. He that cometh to God must believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. But how do we seek him? We seek him in a state of place that we cannot see him with our natural eyes. We seek him in a place where in our natural mind we don't always understand it. But he says in that very place is the place where I want you to diligently seek me even though you cannot see me. You better stay with me here. I'm going somewhere. And so when faith is then believing in what you can't see, faith is believing in what you can't always explain or understand. But there has to be an object to your faith and who you are putting your faith in, who you are putting your belief system in, who is the one that is not seen, but yet you believe that he's more than able to meet your need. And the object of your faith is Christ Jesus. And if he is the object of your faith, then no matter what particular scene, circumstance you are seeing with your natural eyes, you know that the one you cannot see is able to deal with everything you can see. I hope I'm not too deep here this morning. I'm going to say it again. If your object of faith is in the man Christ Jesus, then no matter what you see in your particular situation, no matter the problems that are naturally right in front of you, that you understand that if you can understand, you serve a God who you cannot see can deal with what you can. And because the reality is that is a difficult place to walk in. Even though we say amen and we shout hallelujah amongst our brothers and sisters about the powerful faith that we should have on a day-to-day basis, it's hard because everything in the natural is telling you do it on your own. Everything in the natural is telling you that you have to make it happen for yourself, and things have to be done your way if things are going to be done at all or made right. But I want to preach to you a message this morning that is to give you a biblical perspective on what really is going to be the solutions to what you see. I want to preach to you about there being a blessing in believing. That thought grows as we direct our attention to the book of John, the 20th chapter. If you turn to John chapter 20, if you review this, I'm going to kind of summarize it, so just kind of bear with me, but you can turn to John, the 20th chapter. Jesus revealed something so astounding to one of the disciples in particular. If I can give you a quick background of what's going on here, on the day of our Savior's resurrection, we find that Thomas is spoken to by Jesus. And it is in verse 23. Verse 29. Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. But blessed are they that have not seen and yet believed. On the day of our Savior's resurrection, we find John recounting the story that Mary Magdalene gets there early to the grave. I'm speaking of. She is the one whom the Lord cast out 7 demons, though the scene she enters is not one that she is expecting. The Bible states in a cross-reference here that they were talking amongst themselves. That they were her and the other women that asked the question this. as we go to our Messiah's grave, who's dead, who is going to roll away the stone. Their desire was to go anoint him so that the decomposing of his body would slow down. Their expectation was that Jesus was still in the grave. And they had an expectation that we're going to have problems once we get to the gravesite because there's a heavy stone that is in our way. So they had an expectation that they were going to see a dead body. So when she gets to the gravesite, hallelujah, she notices that the stone has already been rolled away. She was there heading there with one expectation, and she received a whole nother expectation. Let me tell you, if you came to the house of God today and there are some stones that are in your way that you cannot move by yourself, and you come to God with a limited expectation, can I tell you, God has already made provision for whatever you're dealing with right now in your life. God has already made a way for whatever you need. But that was not their expectation. But when you think about the power of God and his resurrecting power, you understand that whatever God has something in store for you to see, he'll let you see it. So the resurrection takes place, and Mary Magdalene runs to tell the other disciples what she has, everyone say, seen. She shares her experience. Stay with me, I'm going somewhere. You know what she says? They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulcher, and we know not where they have laid him. I have seen him gone. So logic tells me that he has been stolen. My perception is that a crime has been committed. My perception is there's always a they that hinders my expectations. There's always a they that messes things up. There's always a they that's always in the way. And Mary was saying there was a they in the way. And we know this is the truth, because when Jesus does reveal himself to her later on while she waited in the garden, you know what she says to the gardener? She says, where have you taken him? In the natural, this is what I am trying to say. It's confirming my logic. It's confirming my expectations. It's concerning my world. And we all have our world. And we think our world is reality. No, your world is only a partial perception of the truth. And the bottom line is, there is never really a they when God is in the middle of it, because all things work together with the good of them that love God and are called according to his purpose. I don't care who the theys are. I don't care who the haters are. If God is before me, then who can be against me? If God is on my side, I don't care who the theys are. And you must have that same mentality. Don't you play the blame game in whatever going on in your life. What you need to know, if I don't see it, I still know that my God is able to supply all my need according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus. So John and Peter come because they heard the word. Now put yourself in their position. Their Lord, their master, their Savior have been crucified and buried in a grave. And now here comes Mary telling them that he's gone. They were already shaken up. And now we have this crazy news that he's not even buried anymore. How would you feel if your loved one, someone told you they're not in their gravesite anymore? How would you act? Put yourself in their shoes. So John outruns Peter, but then waits on the outside. Peter gets there, and he goes in right away. Now watch this. He sees the napkin and the linen and nothing there with the napkin and the linen.
Peter makes no comment. John goes in and sees the very same thing. And the Bible says simply that John believed. Let me tell somebody, it's not up to anybody else, but it's up to you. You can see the same things that everyone else sees, but it's a matter of perception. You can say all is lost, or you can say God's about to show up and what I'm dealing with right now. It's all about how you see things. Peter saw a linen there, and he saw a napkin. He said, hope is lost. And John saw the same thing. He says, God, I don't see what he's doing right now, but there's a belief system inside of me that everything is going to be all right. John was saying, I don't see him, but yet I believe in him. I don't understand how it all going to take place. I'll show you why. He had a certain level of satisfaction that John had because he knew that God was alive. I want to tell you, whatever you're dealing with, there's a certain level of satisfaction you can have in your own soul when you believe that God is in the middle of it. Now, others will tell you things are all messed up. People will tell you to throw in the towel. You say, I don't have to. I see the same things you see. But what you don't see is what I see in the supernatural. I don't have to see it with my natural eyes. There's a spiritual perception that if God said it, I believe it. It's a spiritual perception that said if God says I'm going to make it all right, then he going to make it all right. In the natural, it don't make sense. But God don't have to operate in the natural. He operates in the supernatural. So what looks like empty to you is actually a resurrection. What seems lost to you may seem like a resurrection to somebody else. Are you hearing what I'm saying? There's some dead things in your life right now, and all you see is a linen. All you see is napkins. You ain't hearing me this morning. All you see is destruction. But if your eyes are on Jesus and you believe what you can't see, you say, God is about to work some stuff out. God is resurrected. God is renewing some things in my life. I don't know if this message is for everybody, but there's so many people right now that all hope has been lost, and the greatest things and aspirations seem like they're so far behind you, and you hear negative things, and you're trying to look into it, and now it comes to a point of decision. Am I going to believe or not? You're going to come to a point, you're going to come to a grave, and you're going to ask yourself a question. Is this my moment to believe, or is it my moment to lose hope? I pray in this church we would be believers and say, I believe even though I don't even see it. I believe it even if I don't even understand it. And John did not believe because he understood everything. How do you know? Because the very next verse, says they didn't know the scripture that said he would rise, yet John believed. Is there someone here that may be going through something? There might not be an exact verse, chapter, and scripture, but in faith, you know God has the ability to do some miraculous things. There not might be a 1 John 2:9 for your particular situation, but there's still something inside of you that says, I might not have the right scripture to point to what I'm dealing with, but I do know a God who is exceedingly abundantly able to do anything above all I can ask or think. And so even though John was there with not all the complete understanding, in my mind's eye, I picture John with a smirk on his face that says, I know I don't understand all the scriptures. I don't know all the things that are transpiring right now. I don't know how it's all going to work out. But on the inside of me, there's a belief system that God is about to work some stuff out. Is there anybody else here that says, I got problems all over the place. I got needs all over the place. I got issues all over the place. But there's a smirk on my face. It don't look right in the natural, but in the supernatural, it looks just fine. So long as I believe in the Lord God Jesus Christ. I don't know how it's going to happen, but I simply believe. Next deduction of scripture. Stay with me. Jesus then shows himself to Mary Magdalene as she waited around the tomb. Next, Jesus shows himself to the two disciples on the road of Emmaus. If you put the harmony of the Gospels together on the deduction on what took place after his resurrection. He shows himself to Mary. He shows himself to the two disciples at the road of Emmaus. And then Jesus shows himself to the disciples except one. Jesus shows himself to Mary, the two disciples. He shows himself to the disciples, except he came purposefully when one disciple wasn't there. John 20:24. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples said unto him, we have, say it, we have seen the Lord. But he said in response to them having the opportunity to see, except I shall see his hands and the prints of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. Now, there's something to his statement that I need to bring to our attention that we may not have thought about. Why in the world would you show yourself to the disciples at this point in time when they all weren't going to be there? They are going through a lot of emotions right now. They've been mostly in hiding and fearful right now, fearing for their own lives. And of course, you are resurrected, so surely you came to bring hope and change that mindset. I mean, surely you came to show yourself alive and well that would bring joy inside of their souls. You came to comfort them, to tell them everything is going to be fine. I'm your resurrected king. So why would you leave one person out? Let's keep it real. How do you feel when all your inner circle friends are invited somewhere, but you don't get the same invite? Some will leave churches over that kind of stuff. Some won't go back to family reunions for that kind of stuff. Some people totally isolate themselves for that kind of stuff that just took place right there. How dare you have such and such, whatever going on, and you are part of that group, and you are the one that is left out. How do you feel when you see something on Facebook or Instagram or Snapchat that you feel that you should have been a part of that event? Here is Jesus, the greatest person that ever lived, the one that loved us and taught us so much and things that we all did together with very few exceptions. Yeah, we get how he treated John, James, and Peter. We understood that, but that was different. This is your resurrection. And if he really is resurrected, I can't believe it. Because why didn't he show himself to me? I can't believe it because I'm one of his. Why would I be left out? I refuse to believe except he shows himself to me. Thomas is feeling left out. And as a result of feeling left out, it flows into his thinking. And when it flows into your thinking, it then will flow into your faith. When you feel left out, it first flows into your thinking, and then secondly, from your thinking into your belief system. Some things and sometimes our unbelief is birthed out of an offense we have encountered. Hear me this morning. I'm going to help somebody. Sometimes our unbelief and wavering faith is because we feel we have been mistreated. We feel like unfair things have happened to us. A very painful experience. A respected person offends us or hurts us. Someone we had in high expectations concerning, and they didn't live up to those high expectations. And the next thing you know, we are hindering our own breakthroughs and our own blessings from God because we are offended in Him. How dare God treat me this way? I'm going to keep it real right now. How come He came when I wasn't around? How come He revealed Himself to others and not to me? How come I felt left out of this revelation? How come others are getting blessed, but yet I'm in the same place? To be honest with you, Pastor, I was so glad that others had their territory enlarged in 2017, but this was the worst year of my life personally. Yeah, I'm glad that God has blessed others and touched others, but I'm going through some stuff right now. How come others are being healed and yet I'm still in pain this morning? How come others seem favored and yet I feel forgotten? How come others are rejoicing when I'm in a time of mourning? How come others are getting direct answers from God and I'm not? How come God is not doing things the way I think He should do them? If you know what I was really going through, you would be bitter right along with me. If you knew my heartache and my struggle, and I'm not blasting anybody out, but how many text messages do I get that, Pastor, this is what's going on, and that's what's going on, and this is what's going on, and that's what's going on, and somebody that might be able to cope with it, but right now I can't cope with it. Right now I can't deal with it. And I don't think it's right that others are being blessed, but yet this is the place I'm in. How could you show up and not show me? There are people that get so offended about God at painful situations, they miss out on their healing all at the same time. There are people that are living in bitterness because they feel God should be acting differently towards them. There are people that are not trying to progress in their walk with God because they are bitterness barriers that block them. There are people that can't move forward in their life because they feel that God handled something wrong. There are people that will never go to a higher level because, God, you didn't take me past what happened in my past in a way I felt should not have happened. And they're basically saying, if it isn't done my way, I'm not going forward. If it's not done my way, Jesus, I'm not going to believe. I can't believe. So there's like a self-righteous covering that begins to take over itself. A self-righteous attitude that builds up that everybody has faults but not you, Thomas. Everybody has issues but not you. Everybody can't get their act together, but your act all of a sudden is perfect. Because when you move to a place of that type of level, you become judgmental, and a judgmental spirit grabs a hold of you. And from bitterness to judgmental spirit, and from a judgmental spirit to critic, and from a critic to flat out cynicism. And everything around you will always be wrong. And the next thing you know, no one is right, nothing is right. And guess what? It bleeds to other areas of your life. The attitude of Thomas became, if it really happened, then it has to be validated by me. If it really happened, then I then must see the nail in his hands. If it really happened, then I must see the nails in his feet and the piercing in his side. In other words, if it really is right, then I get the final say. If I don't approve it, it ain't real. If I don't agree with it, it ain't really happening. If it's not lining up to my measurement of all my consciousness, then you can forget about it. And you put yourself in a dangerous position, Thomas, that all of a sudden it has to be validated by you. Who do we think we are? Who do we think we are? We are nothing. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. If we did everything right, we're still dirty. If we dotted all of our I's and crossed all of our T's, that's why when I come to the house of God, I say, God, only you are worthy of the glory. Only you are worthy of the honor. There's none good, no, not one. Thomas, you are in a danger place where you think that everything has to go by your desk and be signed by you for it to go forward. No, God, he was a humble spirit. God, let your kingdom come. God, let me decrease and you increase. Now, I have to put my stamp of approval upon it. If I don't have the direct connection with the end results, you might as well just veto it right now. This is serious, because no one looked at Thomas and got on his case. Sometimes you need people in your life that will look in your eye and tell you flat out, you're wrong. Your attitude stinks. Your perception is off. And then when they tell you that, you better give them a great big hug and say, thank you. Don't let me go down a road of pride, because pride only leads one way, and that is to self-destruction. But no one said anything to Thomas. They kind of just let it be. And that says that Thomas could have been left in his place thinking that mindset and that attitude was acceptable. The disciples weren't going to tell him nothing. What could they say in their mind? I don't know. I mean, I don't say. All I know, we saw him. So this is the wonderful Jesus that we serve. Jesus could have left Thomas exactly where he was. But our loving Savior allowed the scenario to take place because he knows there are many Thomases that are still yet to come. I don't know who you are, but there might be a Thomas right now inside this building. There are still many people that feel left out. There are many people that feel misunderstood. There are many people that wish things were different than what they are seeing and experiencing in their lives right now. And because they feel this way, they can't walk to new places in their life. They're stuck. They're waiting, just waiting, for something to happen exactly the way they want it to. And since that's not the kind of world we live in, they're left stranded on islands of hurts. Stranded in a place of mind. Rather, and this is what we believe here in this church, than a place of empowerment that allows them in the middle of that to be creative and break free from whatever level of hurt and disappointment they encountered and use that very thing to go higher. Now I'm going to go somewhere. So Jesus, yes, does come. And Jesus, yes, does show up. And he does show him the scars. Praise God, in his hands and his feet. And the scar in his side. But there was something greater he still wanted to do. I mean, he could have just showed up and said, here I am. Are you happy now? And left it alone. But then he went a little bit different, and he went a little bit deeper. He says, Thomas, there was something deeper I was trying to reveal to you. Look at the truth in what Jesus was trying to convey. Thomas, you've been labeled doubting Thomas for a long time. Thomas, I was trying to give you an opportunity to change your label. Why was it Thomas the one that was left out when it could have been Andrew, Thaddeus, the other James, Alphaeus? that we don't always hear about. Thomas, you've been labeled this way. You are the disciple that is the one that's always labeled as the second guesser. You are the disciple that's always had that hesitation and that question upon your lips. Think about it, Thomas. Why did not do it to any other disciple? I chose to do this with you because I was giving you an opportunity to change the stigma of what others think about you and what you think about yourself. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You have your own quirks. You have your own identity. And you have your limitations that have been labeled upon you that has hindered you for so long. Oh, that's just doubting Thomas. Oh, that's just sister so-and-so. Oh, that's just the way brother so-and-so is. Let it go. And then God creates situations that seemingly seem like it's hurting you more. And God say, no, I'm trying to take somebody higher. Are you getting it here this morning? God is about taking you higher than where you are now. I know you've always been called doubting Thomas, but I'm trying to change to a place where Thomas said, I know I didn't see him, but I believe that he is the resurrected Messiah. I don't need to see the scars. I don't need to see nothing. I simply believe. And we would never have called him Doubting Thomas. For the Holy Ghost. You got things upon you right now. And you face another situation. And you know what you and I say? Here we go again. And you think you are about to repeat the same process of what you've been labeled as. And God is saying, oh. No, this is an opportunity for growth. This is an opportunity for empowerment. You've always crossed your arms and stuck out your big old lip because things didn't go your way. But this time around, put a smile on your face and say, everything will be all right. Hey, do you see it? No, I don't see it, but I still believe it. God's been working on me. I don't know about you. I'm going to a new level. I don't know about you. I'm changing some false labels about me. How? Because when I don't see it, I'm still going to believe it. I'm still going to trust in the word of God. Thomas, there's a deeper blessing for you in my absence. There's a deeper blessing for you that the prayer is not answered yet. There's a reason why you haven't got your miracle yet. There's a blessing in believing before it happens. I am an absolute believer in God that he believes in taking his people to higher levels. I will never change that mindset. I will never change that philosophy. I don't care what I'm going through or what you're going through or how hard it is in your life. I feel bad for you and myself, but at the end of the day, I got to grow in the middle of this challenge. I've got to grow in the middle of this fire. Is there anybody else that wants that mentality that yes, I'm struggling, yes, I'm hurting, yes, I'm frustrated, and yes, I'm tired, but through it all, I'm going to say, God, make me, mold me, shape me, help me, keep me, grow me, anoint me, prosper me, get me higher than where I've been before. Someone say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Someone say yes. Think about it. Who was translated and did not see death? It was Enoch. Why? Because he pleased God. I don't see how all this is working out, God, but I'm going to keep on trusting in you. Think about the faith of Noah being warned of God of things not yet seen. There had never been a flood before, yet alone even rain. But here you go. Well, I never seen no rain. I ain't built no stupid ark. Come on, I'm talking how we talk. I don't see how. I'm not praising God. I'm not shouting. I'm not running. I don't see no miracle in my home, in my family, or in my money. I'm going to sit right here and show up and put a frown on my face, and that's what it is. And you ain't go build no ark. But I pray as we move to a new year, there are men and women that says, I don't even see a cloud in the sky, but I'm going to build the kingdom of God. Come on, by your hands, show me a hammer and say, I don't hear no wind. I don't see no cloud. But if God said build it, I'm going to believe in things I don't see. I believe my marriage is going to be repaired. I believe I'm getting that promotion. I believe I'm getting, oh, you don't believe it today. But if you want some things to happen, you got to believe it even when you don't see it? Do you want your kids back? Well, then do something about it. Say, I trust you, God. Do you want a financial breakthrough? Well, then believe before you ever get it. Abraham, a man, a father of faith, was called to go to a place where he should receive an inheritance. He obeyed, and he went not knowing where he went because he never saw it. He never saw it before. What more should I say for the time? Tell me of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and the other prophets who through faith subdued kingdoms. How many know we're in a spiritual battle? God wants you to start subduing some kingdom things in your life. Whether you see them or not, they're there. And God wants you to subdue some kingdoms. I want you to raise your hand right now. And I want you to say, Lord Jesus, I want to start subduing some kingdoms. There is some spiritual wickedness in high places that is an absolute opposition against you. So you got to be purposeful and mindful to open up your mouth and say, God, I need to have some ability to subdue some kingdoms and some warfares going on in my life. And you say, how? Through faith, through faith, through faith. They wrought righteousness, obtained promises, and they stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness were made strong. So even if you're weak here today, you can operate in this power. No matter where you are in your spiritual walk, you can operate in this. Wax valiant in fight, turn the flight of enemies, the armies of aliens. Look what they had to face, but because they faced it in faith, look at the great miraculous miracles that God did. There are things that have happened to you as opportunities for you to walk in your blessings and not be stuck. I want you to stand on your feet right now as I conclude. Someone here today is going to break an addiction. Someone here today is going to break a sinful habit because you're saying, I'm going to adhere to the word of God and I'm going to believe even when I haven't even seen it yet. The blessing in believing is like that centurion who knew, Lord, you don't have to come and heal my sick servant in person. That's what I see. But it's no big deal. I believe all you have to do is speak a word, and my servant shall be healed. The blessing in believing is that quiet confidence that Elisha had, that if I just, not necessarily just see him leave, the miracle wasn't just in seeing the man of God leave. The miracle was that I believe so long as I see him, I'm going to get my answer from God in a double portion. As the music plays quietly, I'm letting you know there's a blessing that God has for you, even though you feel like it's not happening the way you want it to happen. There's an open door that God is creating for you in the middle of what looks like, God, this is messed up. God wants to give you a blessing in the middle of that. Jesus. Many hearts are frustrated. Many hearts, oh God, are misunderstood. Many hearts, oh God, don't understand what's going on right now in their life, and the burden that they're carrying is so heavy. But Lord God, as you did in Thomas, oh God, maybe this is an opportunity to just simply trust in you. If you never show up the way I want you to, can I find strength in that? Can I find a new label in that? A new identity in that thing, oh God? And then Peter concludes it. Whom having not seen, ye love, though you see him not, yet believing. So as a result of that mindset, he said you had, he says, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. You see, the scripture says you are going to rejoice and be full of glory when you believe in what you have not seen. One more time, lift your hands to your God right now. Think about your trial. Think about your storm. Think about your situation, your problem. And maybe, maybe you can believe God even though you don't see the answer. Maybe you can start to believe God and trust and put a smile on your face and have joy unspeakable and full of glory. Maybe you'll start praying again because you believe. Maybe you ask God, Lord, just speak your word, and I know it's going to happen because your faith has been rekindled again. And then you're going to trust God to do it his own way. Right now, in the name of Jesus, oh God, all this congregation, empower an individual, Lord Jesus, that's been struggling. Empower an individual, God, that's been tired, oh God, of life circumstances. And let them know, God, there's a blessing right now. And they're believing. I open up these altars for somebody that wants to come and spend some time with Jesus. Somebody that wants to maybe come and pour your heart out before him and say, Lord, I want to believe before I ever see it. Before I ever get my answer, before that door ever opens for me, God, change my perception. Change my mindset, God. Is there anybody else? Is there anybody else that will humble themselves and say, Lord, I want to walk in the blessings. That if you don't come individually for me, I still believe in you. I still believe in you.
You're the